Shall we turn together, please, to the Word of God, and we're turning to the Gospel of Luke tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we want to read together just the first seven verses of this chapter of the Word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And amen. I know God will follow the reading of his word with his own divine blessing. And once again tonight, we'd like to bid you all welcome to our service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you. And also I'd like to thank our sister for that message and song to each one of our hearts. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say from the depths of your heart, I'm a child of the King. For the promise of God's word is that one day thine eyes shall behold the King in his beauty. And it's only the child of the King that has such a testimony as that. Now tonight, as usual, during the course of the singing and the announcements, there was one or two comments made. And you know, I was just thinking of Barrett. Hardly I always end up calling him Dr. Garrett, but it's Dr. Barrett. And I was just thinking when he was saying it'll be good to have our brother, the Reverend Alan Kearns, back once again. And you know, our brother, well, before I arrived, he kept telling people, well, you're going to be spoiled by this preacher when he comes over. And because he, by reputation, I'm not going to say he's a long-winded preacher, but he certainly can shorten the winter for you. And our brother, the Reverend Alan Kearns, is just like that. And you know, there's just a little story that I want to tell you about a dear lady. And she went to her pastor and she said, you know, Pastor, your preaching just reminds me of the love and the mercy of the Lord. And he said, tell me, dear, why is that? And she says, well, it's like the love of the Lord, it passeth knowledge. And it's like the mercy of the Lord, it endureth forever. And so when our brother Alan comes back, you can just tell him I said that. But please wait till I get back to the shores of Ulster before you do that. I was really embarrassed when he was over in our church. And every night I had to lead the singing. And if you think Dr. Barrett's bad, you want to listen to Dr. Barnes, I'm absolutely hopeless. And I remember some nights I used to lead the singing the best I could. And I always lead the notes the one way, and then you can't go wrong. And Brother Alan Kearns, he was saying to the folks, he said, you know, our brother Barnes, when he's leading the singing, he reminds you of an old farmer milking a cow. He only goes in the one direction. And, you know, I was so offended. The next night, I decided to do it by electric, and I didn't move my hands at all. And I got my own back on him. But we do trust that the Lord will bring him back safe and sound, and that even while over he's in Ulster, that the Lord will bless him and bring him back in the fullness of the blessing. Now, if you have your Bible with me, I'd like to turn with me once again, please, to the short story that we read together in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Now, you'll remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 3. And Paul, writing there to the early Hebrew Christians, asked that great question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And Paul there, in asking that question of those early believers, reminds us that God's salvation is a so great salvation. Now, if we had taken time to read the whole of the chapter from which we had taken our scripture reading tonight, you would discover one of the reasons why God's salvation is a so great salvation. You see, as you read down this parable of three stories, it's a trinity, and it brings before us in each story a member of the trinity. When we think of the sheep that was lost, we're reminded of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd and the work of salvation. And then, of course, as we think of the father of the prodigal son, we're reminded of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. And then, of course, as we think of the woman who lost the coin and lighting a light and looking for the coin that was lost, we're reminded of the work of the Holy Spirit that brings light and illumination to the heart of those who are in the darkness of their sins. And so as you read the Word of God, in particular this story, we find that God's salvation is a so great salvation because it took the efforts and the wisdom and the plans and the power of the mighty triune God to work out your salvation and mine. And so I say again tonight that it's a so great salvation because in the salvation of one single soul, it took all the efforts of the Godhead itself. Now, as you come to this portion that we read together tonight, you will find also it's unique to the Gospel of Luke. That's one of the peculiar things about this particular Gospel, that Luke seems to add in his particular Gospel the things that other Gospel writers leave out. For example, if you think of the visit of the Lord Jesus Christ to the temple when he was just a child, and how he was lost and found again by Mary and Joseph. It was only Luke that mentions that particular story. Again, when you go to the end of the Gospel, you have that story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, of when it was said that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And again, it's only Luke that in great detail mentions that particular event at the close of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, when you come to the portion that we read together this evening, we find that it is only Luke records for us this great lost and found chapter of the Word of God that sets forth God's way of salvation. Now, to get back to the story that we read together this evening, you'll remember it was at a time of our Lord's popularity, a time when multitudes were drawing near to the Savior. If you look then at verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And among that crowd were the Pharisees and the scribes. And the word of God says, how they began to murmur, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You know, it's remarkable how that the psalmist said that God shall make the wrath of man to praise him. And even as these Pharisees were in an anger against Christ, even as they criticized the blessed Son of God, they even had to bear witness to the truth of the person of Christ, because that was true of the Savior, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was the whole purpose of Christ coming into the world, was to save sinners and to bring them back to himself. Now, it was just at that moment when the criticism of the Pharisees was directed towards the person of the Savior, we read in verse 3 that he spake this parable unto them. And then the Lord Jesus told this first story that we read together tonight concerning the story of the lost sheep. And I want to look at the lost sheep tonight, taking it as a very simple illustration of the message of the Gospel. Now, as you look at this sheep, you'll find that there are three things that I want to underline this evening. And I want you to notice, first of all, that the sheep was lost. That's the first thing that we're told concerning the sheep. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus, emphasizes the fact that the sheep was lost. If you look in verse 4, we're told that he goes after that which is lost until he find it. And then in verse 6 it says, "For I have found my sheep which was lost." And so the first thing the Lord Jesus was wanting to teach the multitude and the Pharisees round about was this, that as he looked upon mankind, he saw men and women who were lost in sin and who stood in need of salvation. Now, as you look at the sheep that was lost, you'll find that it was lost in two ways. You'll notice, first of all, that it was separated by distance. Somehow the sheep had wandered away from the shepherd, and now there was a distance between the shepherd and the sheep. First of all, it was lost. It was separated by a distance. It had wandered away from the shepherd. And so it is in the story of the fall of man. That's how God depicts, that's how God describes every unsaved man and woman in his sight, that they have wandered away from him and they're separated from him by a distance because of sin. You'll remember when the first act of transgression was committed in the Garden of Eden, that before that Adam knew what it was to walk in the cool of the garden and to have and to enjoy fellowship with God. But the moment he sinned against God, he died spiritually, and there became a distance between him and God. And so much so that when God came at the usual appointed time into the garden, we're told that he cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam was separated by distance. He was hiding from God, the God whom he had sinned against. Dear friend, tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that's exactly the position that you're in tonight. The Bible says that your sins and iniquities have separated you and your God. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And every one of us tonight are separated by distance, and we're at a distance from God. You know, this true story is told of two little boys on one occasion that were in the great city of London. And something happened and they wandered away from their neighborhood and they got lost. And you know, this one of the little boys, he was crying and he was kicking up quite a noise. And a policeman happened to notice, and he came over and he looked at the little boy and he said to him, "What's wrong, son?" And the little boy said to the police officer, he said, "Sir," he said, "I'm lost." And the police officer, trying to comfort him, smiled and he said, "Look at your little brother. He said, he's not crying. Why can't you be like him? Everything's all right." And the wee boy looked up at the policeman with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Sir, my little brother hasn't a sense to realize that he's lost." And you know, my friend, there's a multitude of men and women like that tonight on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're so blinded, deceived by the God of this world, they haven't the sense to realize that they're lost, that they're without God and without Christ and without hope in the world. And if they were to die in their sins, they'd be condemned to the lake of fire eventually for all eternity. Oh, that God would write this lesson upon your heart tonight, that you're lost, you're separated by distance, and you stand in need of God's so great salvation. But then I want you to notice in its lost condition that it was not only separated by distance, but the Word of God tells us that it was surrounded by danger. Look at verse 3 again. And we're told in the Word of God, or verse 4 rather, that the Lord Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, listen, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now you'll notice the place where the sheep was lost. It is mentioned here in the Word of God. It was lost in the wilderness. And so it teaches me that it was not only separated by distance, but it was surrounded by danger. You'll remember that the wilderness was the place of the wild beasts. It was there that David, the second king of Israel, you'll remember, fought the bear and slew the lion. And you'll remember Mark in his account of this, of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 13, adds this detail. And he tells us there in verse 13, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts." And so the thought I want you to grasp is this, that the wilderness was the place of danger. It was the place of wild beasts. And when the sheep was separated from the shepherd, it was not only at a distance, it was in danger because of the wild beasts. Let me tell you, wild beast tonight that is after your soul. You remember the Apostle Peter as he exposes the activities of Satan. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And while you're in the wilderness and while you're in your sin, separated from God, the devil's after you tonight. And he's out to cause you to lose your soul. You remember on another occasion, the Lord Jesus said, speaking of Satan, that he was a strong man armed that keepeth his goods in peace. And that's what Satan is out to do tonight. He's the strong man, he's the roaring lion, and he's the one who was out for the destruction and the damnation of your soul for all eternity. Wonder tonight, have you been awakened to your danger tonight, that all the principalities and powers of hell are against your soul? And of you getting saved. You know, Satan, the Word of God tells us we're not to be ignorant of his devices. And Satan has many ways of seeking to keep souls from Christ. One of the things Satan does is that he tells men and women that it's time enough to get saved. You have the whole of your life before you. There's time enough to get saved. You know, there was an old Welsh preacher on one occasion. He sat down to prepare his sermon, and as he was going over his message, he fell asleep. And in his sleep, like John Bunyan, he had a strange dream. And the dream was this, that he was transported in the dream right down into the prison house of hell itself. And just as he arrived there was a conference going on in hell. And Lucifer was sitting at the top of the table, and he was presiding at this conference. And the agenda before the devil and before the demons of hell was how they could ensnare and deceive and destroy the souls of men and women. One demon got up to his feet and he said, "Sir," he said, I suggest we go up into the world with a lying spirit and we tell people that the Bible is not true." And the demons of hell applauded and they thought it was a great idea. There many are deceived by that today. Then another demon rose to his feet and he said, "Sir, I believe we should go up into the world and we should tell people that their good works are enough to get them to heaven. We'll deceive them by their good works." All the demons of hell applauded once again. Then one demon rose to his feet, more subtle, more devilish than the others. And he said, "I believe we should go up onto earth and we should tell them there's time enough to get saved. And if we tell them it's time enough to get saved, they'll keep putting it off till eventually we gain the victory and they'll be lost." And you know, the minister told how that all the demons in hell stood to their feet and they applauded and they cheered as they heard this proposal put forth, because they realized that was the best proposal of all. And perhaps tonight God has been speaking to your heart. The Bible would say, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, one of the saddest things I believe that I've ever witnessed is this, is men and women who have sat under my ministry and they've intended to get saved. Nobody intends to go to hell. Nobody intends to be lost in the judgment day. But it's to sit under the and preach to men and women like that who keep putting it off. And eventually, in a moment of time, they're cut off. And the Bible says, "He that hardeneth his neck, he that offeneth being reproved, and hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." The sheep was lost, it was separated by distance, and it was surrounded by danger. Oh, that God would open your eyes tonight, and God would show you your lost estate without Christ. But you know, that's not really the message of the gospel. It's part of the message we've got to preach. But the message of the gospel is this, that the sheep was not only lost, but thank God the sheep was loved by the shepherd. As we read this story in verses 3, 4, and 5, we see something of the tremendous love that the shepherd had for the sheep, even though it was lost. want you to notice first of all that he loved it individually. Look at verse 4. And the Savior said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now I want you to notice here that this man had 99 sheep, and yet it was the one sheep that individually was precious to him. Know that you would realize this tonight, that while it's true that God so loved the world, yet it's still every bit as much true tonight that he loves you as an individual, as if you were the only person to love in this meeting tonight. He loves you as an individual. Do you remember in the book of Psalms on one occasion, where David was down in the cave of Adullam and he was discouraged and depressed, and he cried out, "No man careth for my soul." And David was absolutely cast down and dejected. But you know, David was wrong, because there was one in the king's palace, even Jonathan the king's son, and he loved David even as his own soul. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight as an individual and you think nobody cares, and maybe that's true. But I want to tell you, there's one, the king's son, who sits at the right hand of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince and the Savior. And he loves you with an individual and an everlasting love this evening. I think of a young man back home, and his wife died, and he went through a time of depression. Then one day he got his children and he put them out into the street. He went back into the little working kitchen of that home, and he sealed all the doors, and he turned on the gas. He took his life. Later on, the neighbors noticed the children out in the street, and they broke into the home eventually. And they found a young man had taken his life. And on the table there was a little note, and it just said, "Nobody cares. Nobody cares." Oh, friend, maybe you feel like that tonight. Nobody cares. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much tonight. And the evidence of his love is this. He would say, "Behold, my hands and my feet." The evidence of what he suffered on the cross, that he cared so much for you. But I want you to notice that he not only loved it individually, but the Word of God tells us that he loved it sacrificially. He loved it sacrificially. Look at verse 4 again. "And we're told, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost?" Now, you'll notice here what the shepherd does. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness behind, and he goes after that which is lost. Now, you'll remember that in Old Testament times and in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a man's cattle very often was the indication of his wealth. And that's how you knew just how rich, how wealthy a man was. You just looked at the flocks that he possessed, and that was an indication just how rich he was. You'll remember in the story of Job in chapter 1, and the Word of God tells us of Job in chapter 1 that his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. And the Word of God telling us how rich Job was catalogues for us that cattle he possessed. That was the index to a man's wealth. And so this man who had 99 sheep, who had 100 sheep originally, he was a very wealthy man. And yet he was willing to leave his wealth, what he possessed behind, that he might go after the sheep that was lost. Does not depict for us the beauty of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians as he pens those lovely words, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich," says Paul, "he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Oh, the wonder of it all, that the one who was rich in the wealth and the worship of heaven was willing to turn his back upon all that he possessed and to go to Calvary's cross and to die there in your room instead, that you might be brought nigh unto God. Yes, the sheep was loved individually, and it was loved sacrificially. Tell you something else, it was loved faithfully. It was loved faithfully. You know, it would have been easy for the shepherd to shrug his shoulders and to say, well, it's only one sheep, I've still got 99. But he didn't do that. But rather, out of faithfulness to his calling as a shepherd, he went after the sheep that was lost. And even though there's going to be a great multitude in heaven that no man can number, your soul personally tonight is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. And faithfully tonight, even in this meeting, through the preaching of the gospel, he would pursue your soul salvation, and he would seek to bring you to the Savior. You know, as you look back over your life, you can see the faithfulness of God preserving you, the Lord speaking to you at different moments in your life in different ways. And even tonight, God in his faithfulness has brought you into this gospel meeting and given you another opportunity to get saved and to get right with him. But then I want you to notice that this sheep was not only lost, it was not only loved, but thank God it was lifted. It was lifted. I want you to notice what happened when the shepherd found the sheep that was lost. Look at verse 5, and I think this is a tremendous statement. It says, and when he found it, that is the sheep that was lost, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I want you to mark this tonight because it's important. It was not only lost and it was not only loved, but in the end it was lifted. And I want you to see what happens with a shepherd. He comes and he sees the sheep that was lost and he finds it. Perhaps it's bleeding, it's been battered, and it's weak, it's tired, and can't make its way back home. I want you to see the shepherd as he puts his hand into his pouch, and he takes out perhaps a leather cord, and he goes over to the sheep, and he ties its front legs and its back legs together. And then with those strong arms of the shepherd, he lifts the sheep that was lost upon his shoulders, and on the rest of the journey home, the sheep is supported by the strength, by the shoulders of the shepherd. You know, that's a wonderful picture of what Christ does when we come to him. You know, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah, speaking of Christ, says this, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's a tremendous thing. And the shoulder is the place of strength. And when the sheep that was lost was found, it was lifted, it was put on the shepherd's shoulders, on the place of strength, and it was secure on the rest of the journey home. It couldn't be lost again on the journey home. And you know, that's a tremendous illustration of this so great salvation, what Christ does when we come to him. Thank God, when we're in Christ for eternity. Paul tells us that there's nothing. He says, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And the Savior says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? Because they're upon his shoulder, and he's the one who carries them the rest of the journey home. You know, some years ago back home in England, there was an old woman was dying in a poor house. And one of the workers felt sorry for her, and she thought, seeing she was dying, perhaps a visit from the chaplain would be good for her. And so she sent for the chaplain. And the chaplain came and he sat down beside this old woman that was dying. And he said to the old woman, trying to find out what church she belonged to, he said, tell me, dear, of what persuasion are you? Meaning, what church do you belong to? And the old woman lifted up her eyes in her dying bed and she said, sir, I am of Paul's persuasion. Oh, said the minister, what do you mean? She said, sir, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep against that day which I have committed unto him. Tell me, friend, it's only a soul that is upon the shoulders of the shepherd who meet death in such a way. It isn't the sheep that try to keep the shepherd, but it's the shepherd who keeps the sheep. Maybe you're saying to yourself tonight, I would love to be saved, I would love to know Christ, I would love to have eternal life, but I couldn't keep it. And you're right, you couldn't keep it. But the Bible says that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. I wonder tonight, do you know this so great salvation that has been purchased by Christ on the cross that has been provided out of God's great love and has been presented in the message of the gospel this evening. Let me end with our question again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Don't neglect it tonight. Don't put it off. But even tonight, as say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And tonight, make your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as he's freely offered in the gospel. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer, and then Dr. Gingery is going to lead us in a closing song. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that as we wait before thee, Lord, we thank thee for the simplicity of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our Father, we thank thee that it's not only possible to be saved, but it's possible to know that we are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Father, we do pray that even in the closing moments of this meeting tonight, that thou wouldst be pleased to bless thy word. Lord, that which has been sown in weakness, we pray might be raised up in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the word of God may be quickened, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, bringing conviction and conversion to some heart. We pray, Lord, that we might have cause to rejoice with the angels of heaven over one soul coming to know Christ as Savior. Lord, keep your hand upon the meeting. Bless us in our closing hymn. And grant, Lord, that even through your word going forth tonight, that glory might be brought to thy name. For Christ's sake, amen.